This morning I'm going to be talking to you about the Spirit of Holiness. The Spirit of Holiness. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about how the Holy Spirit functions in our lives. And a couple of weeks ago we talked about how the Holy Spirit carries many of these same attributes that the woman carries, with the nurturing and the care for us and leading us and guiding us and teaching us in the ways of the Lord. This morning I want to talk to you about the Spirit of Holiness. You know, the purpose of the Spirit is not to bring glory to itself. It's not to bring glory to itself, but rather to glorify the Father. The purpose of the Spirit is to not bring glory to itself, but to glorify the Father. And we can find this in John chapter 16, verse 12 through 15. It says, "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you what he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is what I said. The Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." And then Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 30, "I cannot do of myself anything. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not speak my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So Jesus says the Holy Spirit will declare everything that I have spoken. And then he says, "I only say what the Father says." And so the Holy Spirit only speaks the words of the Father. The Holy Spirit only ministers and seeks to point us back to the Father. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." And so there is something about pleasing the Father. There is something about whenever we come into alignment and the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives, that we begin to find pleasure in the work of the Father. Why is it that most heart issues that we've discovered today can be traced back to a lack of approval or acceptance from a father? Deep within the human psyche is a need for acceptance. There is a desire to please. This is why some of the most healing words that can be spoken to the soul are the words, "I'm proud of you." What did God the Father say to Jesus the Son? "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm proud of you. I take pleasure in you." And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Is this not what Jesus meant when he said, "My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete"? That was in John 15, verse 11. I can remember as a young teenager, I must have been 16 or 17 years old, and I went on a youth camp. And during that time in my life, I was really searching for direction. I was searching for what I was supposed to do because, you know, I knew that the high school was almost over and I was going to be going to college and I was going to be preparing for my future. And this was a unique camp because it wasn't just a week-long camp. It was a month-long camp. It was an intense discipleship youth camp that I went to. My father was a pastor, and he was a pastor of a church here in San Antonio, and so we went with this youth team. But as I was there, and I was going through this time, we would have this rigid schedule. We'd have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be in prayer. For a youth, that's early, okay? For some of us, that's still early. But we would have to be in prayer for an hour, and then we would move on into other things throughout the day, and we were ministering around, and it wasn't until late at night that we would go to bed, and the next day all over again. And so I remember this one time that there was this minister, and he would come. There would be a time of ministry every night, and so there was this minister that came, and he was speaking to us, and he made this statement. He said, "If you want something from God, you have to be willing to give something in return. If you want something from God, you have to be willing to give something in return." So I went the next morning. It was late at night. I remember we were there. We were praying. We were seeking the face of God. The next morning, I got up really early, earlier than everybody else. I was the first one, and that's unusual for me, by the way, because I'm not a morning person. I have learned to be a morning person throughout life, but especially as a youth, I was not a morning person. And so I was the first one there. I was on my face before the Lord at the altar, and I said, "Lord, what is it that you want from me?" I got to warn you, all right? Be careful, because if you ask that question, he will answer. He will answer. And so he said, "Give me your life." I was confused. Okay, here I am, a preacher's kid. I had gotten saved. I'd been baptized. I had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And my plans were to do, go into music production, and that was my plan. I was headed that direction. And so I said, "I don't understand. You have my life." And he said, "No, give me your plans for your life. Give me your plans for your life." And I paused, because I really enjoyed, or I love music. I don't know if anybody knows that, if they can tell, but I really love music, and it's always been a passion of mine. I love to play, I love to sing, and so I really liked the map that I had made for myself, the roadmap that I had made for my life. I liked that a lot, and I didn't want to alter from that. I didn't want to change that. I had already applied at colleges and universities that had those special things, and I had it set. I was ready to go. And so, being the kind of person that I am, I tried to negotiate with God. Okay? So I said, "So what are your plans for my life?" And of course, God, you don't negotiate with God. He said, "No, it doesn't work that way. You give me your plans, and I'll give you mine." And I said, "Well, I don't know if I want to do that." I told God, "I don't know if I want to do that." I was being honest with God, because he knows everything anyway, right? And he made this statement to me, and it has stuck with me throughout my life to this point. And this is what he said to me. He said, "You'll be successful doing whatever you want to do, but you'll only be satisfied doing what I want you to do." The most powerful statement that God has ever spoken to me. And he's spoken a lot of things to me. "You'll be successful doing whatever you want to do, but you'll only be satisfied doing what I want you to do." In that moment, I realized what I was looking for in life was satisfaction. What I was looking for from God was to feel complete and whole, to have a sense of belonging, to know that my life served a greater purpose than just my own selfish desires. And so, obviously, the end of the story is I said yes, and God gave me his direction, and I stand before you here today, and I couldn't be more at peace with God's plan for my life. It has been a bumpy ride. It has been difficult at times to navigate, to understand. And yet I find myself knowing that I am in God's perfect plan. And there is a peace that I have inside, knowing it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what happens in life. I know that God is happy with me. I know that I am fulfilling the destiny for which I was created. And therefore, I am at peace. I'm filled with joy and satisfaction. You and I were designed for a greater purpose. Could it be that the reason that so many struggle with depression is that they have not found meaning or purpose in life? There's a sense of fulfillment that can only be found in God. There is a hunger within our spirits that can only be satisfied by His presence. There is a void deep within our hearts that can only be filled by the very Spirit of God. You and I were created to belong. We were designed to find satisfaction and purpose and significance and worth by being part of something greater than ourselves. Go ahead. Try and look elsewhere. The streets of history are littered with the shattered ambitions of those who searched the world over, desperately seeking for something to fill the void they felt within, only to discover that nothing in this life can bring satisfaction. Our graveyards are filled with lifeless corpses of those whom no one remembers. These were individuals filled with untapped potential, yet never realized. Go to the hospitals, the emergency rooms, the street corners, the homeless shelters. They are filled with people who have given up hope. Individuals who have turned to drugs and alcohol and uncontrolled sexual desire and every other abominable addiction known to mankind. Where has it left them? What do they have for all their searching? Nothing. There is still a void, an emptiness, a longing for something that could not be found. There is a place of brokenness and desperation and helplessness and hopelessness that many reach every day. They feel that there is nothing left in this life for them, and so they choose to end it, thinking that this will somehow stop the misery, only to discover that they have chosen an eternity of damnation and torment without God. This is not the way that God designed us. We were designed in the garden to be whole and complete. At the fall in the garden, there was a part of God's essence within us that had to be removed from us. Think about that. God said very clearly, "In the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will die." God is an eternal being. He cannot die. When we were created in His image, we were created as eternal beings. It was only sin that caused us to become mortals. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Then after desire has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Sin brought death because it caused us to become mortals. We were eternally separated from God. This created the void within us, but Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 says it this way, "For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through what? Through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." The Hebrew word for Holy Spirit is Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. The word literally translates as Spirit of Holiness. I want you to think of this. Ruach is source of life, is the source of life. It's the breath of God. When we look at the story of Adam in the garden, formed from the dust of the ground, and it says God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. When God breathed, that word breathe or breath, ruach, breathed spirit of himself into Adam and he became a living soul. So ruach, the source of life, the breath of God. Kodesh, this tense, Kodesh, means holiness, sanctification, or completion. God breathed into man and he became a living soul. God looked at all he created and he said, it was good, whole, complete, perfect. Let's look at John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The Greek word for abundantly here is peresos. It means an exceeding abundance. It also means to add the super to the natural. The first part of the word, pere, means complete. Complete. Consequently, the two Hebrew words that coincide with these Greek words are chai, which is the Hebrew word for life, and ruach, which is the Hebrew word for the breath of life or the breath of God. And so I want us to look at this again. What Jesus is saying here is, I have come to bring completion, fulfillment, restoration to your life. And the way I'm going to do this is by connecting, restoring the super to the natural. I'm going to fill the void deep inside of you once again by breathing my spirit into you. My breath inside of you will fill you with a sense of wholeness and completion. You will be satisfied and your heart will overflow with an abundance of joy because you will be restored to your place of belonging. You will be holy like your heavenly Father, because my spirit inside of you is holy. My breath inside of you will restore your soul. You will once again be restored to the image of your heavenly Father. Isn't that beautiful? That simple phrase, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. When you begin to look at these words and you begin to understand the meaning of them and you begin to do the deep digging and searching and seeking out the scriptures, you begin to see that there's so much richness and fullness to the Word of God. He is communicating to us in a way that from the surface we may not understand, but as we begin to see that what he's literally saying is, my Holy Spirit is going to come and reconnect to your life, and that is how you are going to once again be restored to a fullness, a completion, a wholeness. It's by the work of my Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 9 through 12, Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." This statement, "My joy may be in you and your joy may be complete," it goes back to that pleasure, taking pleasure in, being pleased with. God the Father pleased with the Son. The Son dwelling within us and his delight being in us. And our self-worth, our significance being brought to completion, being fulfilled, being satisfied. There's a satisfaction that only comes from being connected to the family of God. There's a satisfaction that only comes from being filled with the presence of God, for being reunited with the Spirit of God. God delights in his children. He delights to see us loving one another. It brings joy to his heart when we are loving him and sharing his love with others. Jesus said that we will find fulfillment, overwhelming satisfaction, an abundance of joy when we love others as he loved us. Here's the kicker. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. True love, God love, can only come from the Spirit of God. So in order for us to abide in God, because it says, this is how you abide in me, right? By your love. In order for us to abide in God, the Holy Spirit must abide in us. In order for us to abide in God, the Holy Spirit must abide in us. It is his Spirit in us that brings us joy. Because he delights in us when we are complete in him. His delight is that we are in relationship with him. There is nothing more that a father desires than to be in relationship with his child. There is nothing more that a father delights in than to see his children getting along, loving one another. There's nothing that makes a father more proud of his child than to see that child beginning to grow and mature and live out a life of dignity and self-worth. But those things only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit directs and leads us. The Holy Spirit is the one that carries us through and nurtures us and grows us into the character and the nature and the essence of God the Father. And so it is the Spirit of God within us that produces love, that allows us to be loved, to abide within God, to find wholeness and completion. It is His Spirit in us that brings us joy because He delights in us when we are complete in Him. The Holy Spirit fills the void. It brings completion. It gives us belonging. It produces within us the very essence, nature, and character of God. His essence within us, being shared with those around us, brings satisfaction and meaning to life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "So you are complete." Say the word complete with me. "So you are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Where do we find our completion? And how do we remain in Christ? We are complete in Him. I'm going to be closing, and I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Please bow your heads with me. Do you find yourself struggling with identity? Are you in crisis? Do you feel alone and without purpose? Have you been chasing empty dreams or looking for satisfaction? Have you found yourself turning to all addictive behaviors and trying to fill a void only to be left more empty? Do you feel broken inside or lost? Do you feel trapped in a vicious cycle? Are you looking for meaning or significance or purpose? I'm here to tell you that God's love is the missing piece. He can bring healing and restoration and significance to your life. His Spirit is waiting for you to turn to Him. He wants to fill you and satisfy you and give you renewed purpose and a place of belonging. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest unto your soul." If you're tired of running and searching for satisfaction only to come up empty, I urge that you turn to Jesus. Give Him your heart. Let Him take control of your life. Allow Him to do what only He can do. He will make you whole again and fill you with His peace, His joy, His love. If you're ready to take that step, I ask that you raise your hand this morning. I see that hand. Is there anyone else in the building that would say, "I need Jesus. I'm tired of running. I need Jesus"? I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of looking everywhere and finding nothing that can satisfy my soul. I need you. I turn to you. I ask that you would take my heart and that you would restore me to completeness, that you would fill me with your presence, that you would fill this void inside of me. Forgive me for looking everywhere else and not coming to you. I repent of my sins. I accept your forgiveness. I surrender my life to you. And I thank you that you are giving me a life of wholeness and completeness and of restoration. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a praise offering in this place? I want to do one more thing before we leave. One more thing. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm going to ask that those who I spoke with before service would come forward. We're going to do something today. We're going to ask that the Holy Spirit fill you. This is what we're going to do. Tony and his wife will be up here. Pastor Sanford will be up here. I will be up here. We're going to take and we're going to anoint your head and we're going to speak these words over you. Be filled with the Spirit. May your soul be restored. May your cup of joy overflow with rejoicing as his love is poured out into your heart through the power of his Holy Spirit. Will you allow us to do this morning? If you would like to receive this blessing, if you would like to be anointed with the oil of gladness and have this blessing spoken over you this morning, I would ask that you would stand. I would ask that you would stand. Everyone stand. Just step out into the aisle and go ahead and come forward as we anoint you and speak this blessing over you.